Well, thank you very much, Andrew, and good morning, everyone. This is a speech about the future of our economy, the future of our society, and therefore the future life opportunities and prosperity of all of our people, for everyone. And Alliance wants to go forward faster in terms of this transformation. Our vision is that by the year 2030, Northern Ireland will be regarded as the most innovative and creative region within the European Union. Driven by the skills of our people and our investments in science and technology, Northern Ireland will be a leader in the knowledge economy, advanced manufacturing, life sciences, agri-food and tourism. The productivity gap between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK will have been closed, and indeed Northern Ireland will be well above the UK average. We will be a much more prosperous society with higher wage levels and greater levels of equality and social mobility. More people will be employed than ever before, and we will have finally addressed the long-standing structural problem of economic inactivity. Shortly, I am going to take the opportunity to reflect more directly on my time as Minister for Employment and Learning, and in particular how we have delivered change in terms of increased levels of skills and better labour market outcomes to power this vision. However, it is useful at this point to put in place the wider context of where we are today with our local economy and what we can achieve through going forward faster with Alliance. Obviously, it goes without saying that the first component of realising this vision is that we actually remain within the European Union. It is an act of supreme recklessness from the current UK government in gambling with our security, prosperity and general well-being through holding this unnecessary referendum. Alliance realises that the European Union is not perfect and does indeed need to be reformed. But the arguments of Northern Ireland, along with the rest of the UK, remaining within the EU, are even stronger today than they have been at any time over the past four decades. Above all, Europe is about consolidating peace and promoting human rights and democracy. Countries are still queuing up at this time that some in the UK are itching to leave. And on that note, I gather that one of our other parties is actually meeting today to determine their position on the European Union. Doesn't it say at all that on one of the biggest issues facing the security, prosperity and general well-being of the population of Northern Ireland, that a party is still after 40 years to work out the position on Europe? Europe brings practical benefits in terms of policing and justice cooperation and common environmental standards. But I want to focus on the financial and economic benefits. Northern Ireland does well in terms of access to European programmes and support for our rural economy. And we won't be fooled by any notion that Northern Ireland will get the same money back if we were left solely in the hands of the UK government. But leaving aside the issue of financial transfers, the most critical point is that Europe offers access to a huge single market worth over £700 billion. And exports are central to the Northern Ireland economic strategy, with over half already going into that EU market. The voices of the business community are overwhelming for staying in. It defies belief that some parties and politicians who claim to support the local economy would deny the logic of those who are the experts in terms of creating wealth and creating jobs. The prospect of leaving Europe at a time when we are about to deliver that long-sought-for ability to lower the rate of corporation tax is a cruel irony. Our access to Europe is one of the most compelling reasons for investing into Northern Ireland. Over the past five years, I've done a lot of work on encouraging investment. In all of that time, I have not met a single investor who has advocated Northern Ireland would be better off out of Europe. A lower rate of corporation tax does have that potential to provide a step change in our economic fortunes, creating tens of thousands of new jobs and spurring on further economic growth. Without taking this opportunity, growth in Northern Ireland will continue to lag behind the UK average and the productivity gap would not be narrowed. But all of this can only happen in the context of a comprehensive plan as to how we can resource the lost revenue to the Treasury and how to invest in terms of the key drivers of economic growth, primarily skills. Tackling the ongoing costs of a divided society It's one of the many ways that we can invest in better public services and to fund the improvements to our economy. With the decision now to set a date and a rate for a lower rate of corporation tax from the 1st of April 2018, the requirement to invest in our skills base takes on an increased urgency. I will continue to advocate this lower rate of corporation tax as something that can transform our economy and continue to showcase the quality of our people and the quality of our universities and colleges to the investment community. But let me be very clear, a lower rate of corporation tax will not work in a vacuum. It is about both tax and talent. This is an inescapable requirement for the executive. They must invest more in our local skills base and address the funding gap to our universities, building on our economic-focused FE colleges even more, and to assist in the delivery of our new system of apprenticeships. It's in this regard around money that Alliance has showed the leadership to oppose the cheap populism that has characterised Stormont's public finances for the past decade, and we have advocated a proper strategic budget. There's one further component that underlines Alliance's economic vision. That is that of an open, diverse and integrated society. It is these type of societies that have the most successful economies. We need to ensure that we provide a progressive society to encourage local people to stay and to attract other people to come. And this includes ensuring that we have in place the full spectrum of progressive social policies, including equal marriage. I was in San Francisco and Silicon Valley 6 weeks ago, the tech centre of the world. And yes, these are genuine factors that lie behind investment decisions. So we must continue to build a genuinely shared, integrated and cohesive society, something that brings our diversity together. And this entails breaking down the walls, promoting more shared housing and promoting integrated education. Indeed, I continue to be very proud that our colleges and universities remain shared and integrated institutions, teacher training aside, of course. Through the Department for Employment and Learning over the past 5 years, we have now delivered a full suite of policies and programmes to transform every aspect of our skills landscape. Skills are the key driver of economic change and social mobility. They serve as the engine room of the economy. And it's therefore important to ensure that skills are delivered at the right levels, matching supply and demand, while bringing as many people as possible into the labour market. Northern Ireland has historically had a low profile in terms of skills. But since 2011, we have been radically turning that around with greater provision all round and at higher levels, with a particular focus on science, technology, engineering and maths. We have improved the start of the skills pipeline with a greater focus on careers, including a revised career strategy for Northern Ireland and our skills barometer, the most modern instrument for measuring skill needs anywhere in Europe. Just this week, the Assembly passed legislation to ensure that there is a statutory duty on my department to provide careers advice. One particularly important theme is that we ensure that we are addressing the gender imbalance in terms of the profile of workers in different sectors of the economy. Women are graduating in greater numbers than men, but they remain underrepresented in the upper echelons in terms of many professions and also the high-growth sectors of the economy. We cannot expect to compete in the global marketplace if we don't make full use of the local marketplace of talent. We have improved the skills pipeline through delivering over 1,300 new higher education places in science and technology. We've also set and trained the process to double the number of state-funded PhDs over the course of this decade. And our local research base has been strengthened with new and expanded funding streams such as the European Union Horizon 2020 programme, and the US-Ireland Research Partnership. With a modern estate and a fresh strategy in place, our further education colleges are now established as the first point of call for businesses in terms of skills solutions and support for innovation. And working directly with investors, I'm particularly pleased that our Assured Skills programme has helped to support the creation of over 5,000 jobs. We've been assisting students with widening access measures, such as a new top-up loan system for part-time students, with announcements to follow on improved support for postgraduates. And I'm particularly proud that we have been able to freeze tuition fees for local students attending local universities and have also preserved maintenance grants. One of our far-reaching reforms is the delivery of new systems of apprenticeships and youth training. Many people may be familiar with the concept of apprenticeships, but perhaps they associate them with the past and also a narrow range of occupational areas. Our system would now expand this approach to any occupational area requiring professional or technical training and at any skill level. Employers will also be in the driving seat determining the nature and the content of training. And under devolution, our new system is considerably different and indeed better than the approach being adopted in England, and much more in keeping with the highly successful approach that has been adopted in many parts of Europe. Apprenticeships work well for employers in that they can more reliably achieve the particular skills that their business needs to flourish, and they work for young people who will have much greater prospects of sustainable employment. Our system of youth training offers new pathways for young people between 16 and 24 who have left school with few qualifications but with a clear potential to engage and progress in the world of work. More generally, we have supported young people, including those who are most marginalised, through the provision of a wide range of programmes, including the Youth Employment Scheme. And over the past 5 years, we have assisted over 50,000 young people into employment. Indeed, whenever I assumed office in May 2011, the claimant count was approaching 60,000. Today, it is well under 40,000. Within that time, we also had 23 continuous months of a fall in unemployment, the longest continuous record in terms of a fall for over 20 years. We've also worked to improve the situation within the world of work. Our Working Families Act came into effect last April, and I hope that the new rights to shared parental leave and easier access to flexible working will help to accommodate the different range of domestic situations that people are in today, and to assist with the retention and progression of women in the workplace. This week, the Assembly also passed our Comprehensive Employment Bill. This provides for a wider range of alternative dispute resolution procedures, which should minimise the resort to more costly and stressful use of employment tribunals. The bill also contains measures enabling a future minister to put in place measures for the proportionate regulation of zero-hours contracts, allowing for their use where there's a clear business case made, but also cracking down on abuse. Once again, this is devolution in action. Conference, over the past 5 years, it has been my privilege to serve as the Minister for Employment and Learning. Working alongside David Ford, we have proven that Alliance can be effective in government and can deliver real and meaningful change. Between us, we have left behind a significant legacy of achievements and proving that we can make a substantive difference. But I make these points not to look back over past glories, but rather to emphasise the point that Northern Ireland needs further change, and that this change needs now to happen much faster. So I make these points to demonstrate that Alliance has shown by its track record, through keeping our promises and through delivering on our manifesto commitments, that we are the most credible agent for the necessary change and reform that must come if Northern Ireland is to finally live up to its full potential. Thank you very much.